Father, I thank you so much that you are God who is sovereign, that you have all things in your hands. Lord, from the beginning of time, Lord, you continue to work in your powerful way to see your will be done. And so, God, we thank you that we can hold on to this truth even if the world seems like it's falling apart with all the coronavirus issues that we're facing, with all the injustices that we face today, with there's just so much going on in this world that we, at times, we lose sight of the fact that you are in control. But Lord, today we want to declare that you are the sovereign God, that you are in control, and that we can trust in you. Lord, we pray for all the other churches that are around this world, and there are a lot. There are a lot of churches. We pray for the churches that are here in Taiwan, all the international churches, all those churches, all the Taiwanese churches, all the different kinds of churches that are here in Taiwan. Lord, we pray for the churches that are in China. We pray for churches that are in all different parts of the world, that as all the pastors and leaders, the elders, as they face these different circumstances, Lord, would you allow your people to continue to hold on to the truth that you are God, that you are the sovereign God, and also that we may continue to speak your truth into lives of people that still don't know you. I pray, God, that after or even during the times that we're going through all these difficulties, Lord, may your truth be proclaimed, and Lord, may it be proven that your truth is the only truth in this world. And so, God, I lift up your people, all the different gatherings, all the churches all around the world. Lord, may we stand up for your truth. May we proclaim your truth, and may we do it in love for your glory. And I pray, dear Lord, that as we look to your word now, Lord, may your truth be proclaimed. I pray that you'd be the one speaking through me, and Lord, that your words would be the ones that are spoken into the hearts of your people here. And so, Lord, I lift this time up to you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, I want to say a quick hello to all those that are watching online. We're glad that you continue to join us. And we hope to see you sometime soon in our church here with us. But we understand that there are different circumstances that come up that cause you to watch online. But we're really glad that you are joining us here today. We've been going through a sermon series called The Strangest Kingdom. And basically through our series, we've been wanting to discuss what the book of Matthew has been talking about in these few chapters where Jesus speaks about the kingdom and it's put in contrast to this world. And the world works in a certain way, but the kingdom of God works in a different way. And every week that a sermon is given, every week that we go through a different part of this book of Matthew, the question that we need to continue to ask ourselves is, do I handle things in the world's way, or do I handle things in God's way, according to the kingdom of heaven? Do I think in the way that the world thinks, or do I think and make decisions according to what the kingdom of God is all about? And so we're going to continue to do that today. And so we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to verse 35 today. And so if you guys have your Bibles, it'd be great if you could open it up to Matthew chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible on you, that's okay. We also have it on the screen. But please follow along. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21, and we'll read all the way to the end of the chapter. This is the reading of God's word. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Amen. You know, the past few weeks we've been talking about how we can interact with other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, how to interact with other fellow believers. And this past week there was a message sent out through the Line group, and there were links there pointing to documents that were written by our very own Tim Yates. And I just want to encourage all of you guys, if you haven't taken the time to look at those documents, to take some time to look at it. And some of you guys, as you're reading the beginning portion, it might be difficult to get through some of that part just because it's really trying to lay the foundation for the idea of reconciliation. But I don't know if Tim Yates would encourage this or not, but I would suggest to you that if it's difficult, skip down to page 9 and just read through that part. And then go back and you can read all the foundational aspects of it to support the idea. But it's important to get the whole picture of how to actually do reconciliation. Now, I mentioned that because this is a topic that is really important. Actually, Tim Yates, he sent me an email saying this is such an important topic that this needs to be talked about over and over again. And I completely agree with that. This is a topic that needs to be talked about over and over again because as believers, even though we are believers, and even though we might expect each other to act like believers, but there are a lot of times that we will fall into sin and we will sin against one another and we will be hurt and be offended by one another. And so the topic for today and the question that I want to ask is when an offense actually occurs, Jesus calls us to forgive one another. And the question that I want to ask is, how do we actually forgive? And the title for today is, How Many Times and How Much? And some of you guys may have thought about this question before because, again, some of us may be in a conflict right now. Or maybe some of us have faced conflicts in our past churches and maybe they were never really resolved. And so this question keeps coming up over and over again. How do we actually forgive people? Again, how many times and how much? Do we forgive and forget? Are we actually able to forget when the offense was just so big? How do we do this? And so that's something that we want to talk about today. And so the title or the main idea for today is, and as I suggested last week, if you guys have some way to take notes, I would suggest you to take notes either in your phone or in your notebooks or whatever. But for this part, for the main idea, I ask you to write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. This is our main idea for today. And I've paraphrased it here. It doesn't have the full verse in there on the screen. But this is our main idea for today. The main idea is forgive one another as God forgave you in Christ. And those are our points 1, 2, and 3. Point number 1, forgive one another. Point number 2, as God forgave you. And point number 3, in Christ. All right. So again, the main idea is forgive one another as God forgave you in Christ. So Let's talk about this first point, forgive one another. Forgive one another. This is the command that we're seeing here in today's passage. Forgive one another. Now, if I were to sum up the whole passage, basically, the idea is forgive continually. Forgive continually because you have been forgiven. And remember, we're talking to believers. This is a concept that non-believers will not really understand. This is a concept that people who don't believe in Jesus Christ will have a hard time understanding. But as Christians, the command for us is forgive one another continually because you have been forgiven. Now, I want to talk about the context real quick just to help us remember what we're talking about here. And so the next slide, from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 14, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. It was basically talking about how we need to be careful not to offend, and I didn't write it all out, but not to offend believers. As a believer, we need to be careful not to offend or sin against other believers, not to cause other believers to stumble. And then last week, we talked about what if someone does offend you? How are we supposed to deal with that? And we talked about this section in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 20, where it talks about how we're supposed to resolve the conflict. And there are steps that were written in there about how to resolve the conflict. And typically, people might use the words, this is the way that we do church discipline. But the whole passage is not necessarily about church discipline, but it's about how to resolve conflict. And at the very end, where if the issue is not resolved even to the end, then the church will have to step in and have to apply disciplinary measures. But the idea is, how do we resolve conflict? And today, what we're going to be talking about is, what if a person admits their sin? We've tried to resolve the conflict, we've approached someone, and they've admitted to it. They've listened to your plea, and they've admitted to it. What if they admit to their sin? And today, what we want to address is we need to forgive and continue to forgive. And next week, what we'll be talking about is that, well, what about in marriage? Because especially in marriage, there's going to be continual conflict that may arise. So what do we do in that kind of situation? And that's how I kind of want us to just help us to see that in all of these issues, it seems like they all fit together, but in all of these issues, there's a way of thinking about it from the kingdom of God's perspective. And there's a way to think about it from the world's perspective. And so today, let's dive into talking about forgiveness. So Jesus just told his disciples, when someone does offend you, seek to resolve that conflict. And Peter, he gets it. He says, okay, I hear you, Jesus. We need to resolve the conflict. But what if the person keeps sinning against me? And that's why Peter goes up to Jesus and he says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How often should I forgive him? How many times and how much? And then he asks a second question, as many as seven times? And this may sound very, very holy, especially for a listener at that time, because there are a lot of Jewish teachings during that time that would say you only need to forgive three times. And three times is a good roundabout number. And if you forgive three times and they sin against you a fourth time, you don't have to forgive them anymore. But what Peter does here, and there's some debate about why he actually uses the number seven. But one way of thinking about it is, you know, Peter multiplies it by two. It's not just three times, but multiplies it by two and adds one on top of that. Seven times. Are we supposed to forgive maybe up to seven times, Jesus? That's so much more than what the Jewish teachers are saying. And what does Jesus say? He replies by saying, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. And some versions of the Bible may say seven times 70. Now, the point here basically is not to say, okay, I've forgiven this person 77 times. And so, Jesus, on the 78th time, is it okay for me not to forgive them? Right? That's not the point. The point is not to actually try to count how many times this person sinned against me. And so that if I get to 70 times 7, 70 times 7 is what? 490, right? 490. So if a person sinned against me 490 times, then I don't have to forgive them on the 491st time, right? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is basically saying, forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive continually. That's the main idea. And then he goes on to share a parable. And he talks about, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It can be compared to a king who was going to settle accounts, and he calls a servant in, and he says, you need to pay me back everything, and what I'm going to do to you if you can't is I'm going to throw you and your whole family and everything that you owe me, I'm going to require you to pay it back to me, and you're going to have to stay in jail with all of your family until you pay it back. And the amount is, what was it? What does it say in there? It says 10,000 talents in verse 24. 10,000 talents. Now, that doesn't mean anything to us today. But if you look up some of what the scholars say, what archaeologists say about what that could possibly be, the amount that could possibly be, there are different estimations, and that amount varied from time to time in ancient times. But basically, what you can say is that that amount is equivalent to 30 billion NTD. 30 billion NTD. I don't know how to say it in Chinese. Okay, 30 billion NTD. That's a lot of money. For me, I think about it in American dollars. That's 1 billion U.S. dollars. That's a lot of money. And so the guy has to pay back that amount. Some people will say, this king is dumb. How can you keep lending a person that much money? Right? What is wrong with this king? But the king did. And that's important to keep in mind. The king was acting in some people's minds, a strange way, in this strangest kingdom, he lent this money up to $1 billion. But then the guy falls down and he starts pleading with the king. Please, please have patience with me and I'll pay you everything. And then after he leaves, the king says, okay, I'll forgive you. You don't need to pay anything. You're free to go. Imagine how much relief that servant must have felt. That much money. $1 billion. Think about that. You're completely forgiven. And then what does this servant do? He goes out and he finds someone that owes him money. And when we look at it, we might think it's not that much money. 100 denarii. It's found in verse 28. 100 denarii. But actually, it's for us, if you think about it, it is quite a bit of money, but it's nothing compared to $1 billion. So what is that amount equivalent to? It's about equivalent to 3 months' wages. So imagine how much money you made in 3 months, and that's how much that other person needed to pay back this servant. So it's quite a bit of money, right? The same exact thing happens. The guy says, I'm going to throw you into jail until you pay me back everything. And so he gets all these people to be thrown into jail. His servant, not his servant, but his friend to be thrown into jail. And then it's like the same thing happened. The guy was like, please, if you just give me some time, if you have mercy, then I'll pay you back everything. But the guy says, no, you're going to go to jail. So imagine, like, if you were a person that was on the side looking at this happen, how would you feel? Well, there were people in the story that observed this happening, and they just felt so distressed that they told the king about it, and the king calls the guy back in. And if you imagine, it's these people, the witnesses that witnessed this sin happening, basically. There were these witnesses that witnessed it. And so they told the king, and the king said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you this much money. How could you not have mercy on this person? Show compassion to your friend. Because of what you've done, I'm going to throw you into jail, just like I was going to do before. And you're going to stay there until you pay everything back." And then Jesus ends with saying this, verse 35. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." What is Jesus saying here? It's not just the command to just forgive and that's it. What Jesus is basically saying is you must forgive because of the great debt that was forgiven you. But if you don't forgive, you're going to be thrown into jail in a place, you're going to be punished in a place where you're going to be suffering, and you're not going to come out of there until you pay everything back. But once you're in jail, there's no possible way that you're going to pay everything back. What Jesus is saying is that if you do not forgive your brother, a believer in Jesus Christ, if you do not forgive, then you are in danger of going to hell. You are in danger, let me say it a little bit more clearly, you are in danger of showing yourself to be an unbeliever. Because if you have really experienced God's love and his forgiveness, then there's no way that you wouldn't be seeking and working towards forgiving a brother or sister in Christ. But the fact that you're not forgiving, it's showing something in your heart, some type of unbelief that's showing that you actually aren't understanding and believing in the forgiveness that God has given to you. It's just like what Jesus says back in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 12 and in verse 14 and 15. This is part of where Jesus talks about the Lord's Prayer. And there's a part in the Lord's Prayer where we say, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." And right after that, in Matthew 6, right after the Lord's Prayer is done, this is what it says. Actually, let me just turn to it. Maybe you guys can turn to it also. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, this is what it says. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It's the same message. I want that to sink in a little bit for us here today. This is something that we don't want to hear. But this is Jesus' command. Forgive one another. And the way that this parable kind of talks about it is in terms of financial terms. It uses financial terms to talk about it. And so I want to, if we could go to the next slide. I want to talk about forgiveness and just kind of talk about a little bit in practical terms. Because this idea of forgiveness is such a difficult thing for us sometimes, especially if you've been really, really hurt by someone. And so I want us to go through this. I'm going to try to go through this as quick as possible. But I want to first of all mention the bank debt analogy. So every person, if we could imagine, and this analogy is not perfect, but if we could imagine, every person has a bank account. And every time someone sins against you, some of that money is taken out and that person takes that money with them. And so then every time someone sins against me, there's this debt that is in my bank account. There's a portion that's missing. And I just don't feel like I have what I'm supposed to have as long as that debt is there. And so when someone sins against me, I have a choice. What am I going to do about this debt? Either I'm going to go back to that person and I'm going to keep bugging that person. Pay me back. Pay me back. And this is the idea of unforgiveness. I'm not going to let things go until you pay me back. You need to give me back my money. You need to make it up somehow. I'm not going to stop bothering you, or I'm not going to stop thinking about this situation until that person pays me back. That's the idea of unforgiveness. That's one way that people deal with it. Or the other way that people try to deal with this debt is by trying to earn money back again to try to fill that debt. And so people might say, I think the offense is not big enough. My debt is not big enough, so I won't hold it against you. I will forgive you, but there's some way that I have to make up for this debt that I feel. And so I'm going to find some type of way, either by playing or having fun or reading something inspirational or doing something to try to make sure that I feel full again. Every time someone sins against us, every time we feel some type of effect of sin, it might not even be a person that sinned against me. It might be a person that sinned against another person, and I'm feeling the effects of that sin. But every time that happens, more and more that there's debt in my bank. But forgiveness is also something that could be healing. If you're able to forgive, then you don't have to stress over telling that person to pay me back. Or if you're actually able to forgive in God's ways, then you don't have to be filled with the stress of trying to earn and fill that debt again yourself. Forgiveness can actually be healing if you don't have the burden of trying to fill that debt again. And another thing that I want to talk about forgiveness is that forgiveness is different from reconciliation. In the previous passage, we talked about how we need to resolve conflict. We need to pursue reconciliation. But as much as I pursue reconciliation, it's possible that the other person will not want to reconcile with you. It's possible that that person will not admit to their sin. It's possible. So reconciliation is not something that will always happen, even though we try to pursue that. But forgiveness is something that we can do whether or not reconciliation actually happened. And so forgiveness, this debt, can be filled, and I can forgive even if that person doesn't want to have a relationship with me again. Right? Forgiveness is saying, I'm not going to require you to pay me back, and forgiveness is me feeling full again, so I'm not going to require you to pay me back. That's forgiveness. And forgiveness, then, is a choice. It's something that you decide to do. It's not based on your feelings. Some people say, I can't forgive because I can't. But it's a decision that you make. And the last thing is that even if you have forgiven in the past, there may be times where you're tempted again not to forgive, where you're tempted again to look back at what happened in the past and then to hold it against that person again. And so there's a choice to fight against that temptation also. Now, same thing as last week. We're coming to our second point now at this point of the sermon. But I just want to let you know that this first part of the sermon, the command, is so important for us to understand that forgiveness is a command because of what Christ did for us. And we'll get to that a little bit more later. But if you don't forgive, Jesus' warning is that if you don't forgive, then how do you expect your Heavenly Father to forgive you? And we have to take this seriously. Second point, as God has forgiven us, forgive one another as God has forgiven us. And the idea here is that there was a cost. Whenever forgiveness is required, there's this debt there. There's a cost that needs to be paid back. And this cost is something that we need to understand a little bit more deeply. And I think that a lot of us do, because a lot of us have been sinned against. A lot of us know what it feels like to be hurt by someone. A lot of us know what it feels like to be offended by someone. And it's really hard to deal with, especially if it's by someone that's in the church, especially if it's someone that's a leader in the church. And so the question we have to ask is, why don't we forgive? Why don't we forgive? Well, perhaps a lot of times the reason why we don't forgive is that we feel that there's injustice that happened. And unless we see justice occur, then we feel like we're not able to forgive that person. And we constantly feel this injustice, especially if that person sins again and again, and we're like, there has to be some kind of justice here. This needs to be dealt with some way. Or sometimes we don't forgive because there's this fear that's deep in our hearts. I was really hurt by what happened last time, and I'm afraid that it might happen again, and I don't want to go through that again. It's really scary, and it was really painful, and I went through so much during that time. I don't want to go through that again. And we have this fear. And so because of this fear or this sense of this desire for justice, we have whether an outright unforgiveness of the person and saying, I'm not going to forgive that person, or we have an inward unforgiveness where we still feel bitter, or we still feel that we can't trust that person, or we can't work with that person. And again, let me make it clear. We're talking about offenses that occur amongst believers. Amongst believers. And there's perhaps, there's a song that I heard in the past that really describes the pain, this idea of pain, and why it's so hard to forgive sometimes. And there's a song that was by a guy named Steve Camp where one part of the verse, it says, to turn the other cheek is so hard when the other cheek is already bruised. And this idea is where Jesus says, you know, if someone hits you on the face, then turn the other cheek to them. But this songwriter is saying, you know, how am I supposed to keep doing that if this other side is already bruised from the last time that the person hurt me? So the pain is real. There is a cost that exists there. And we may ask all these kinds of questions, like, what if the person sins against me again and again and again? And perhaps Jesus' words may echo, not seven times, 77 times. But still, what if the person doesn't change? Still, 77 times. Trust the Lord that if this person really is a believer, then that the Lord is working in their lives. Trust that the Lord is in control and that he's working in his people's lives. So forgive, even if he does it or she does it over and over again. And there's more to be said about that, I know. And I know that there are more questions that come up. But the idea is, if a person sins over and over again, remember Jesus says 77 times. What if it's harmful to me? What if what they're doing is like really affecting my life? Well, there are cases of abuse that may be going on. And if that does happen, then It may be wise to distance yourself from that person for a period of time. But the goal still should be to try to forgive that person and to want that person to go back to the Lord, to point the person back to Jesus Christ. And some of us might be asking, I'm in a situation right now where a person is demanding forgiveness from me. They say, you have to forgive me because Jesus said so. And if you don't forgive me, you're going to hell. You know, some people might say that. And they say it out of anger. If a person is demanding forgiveness from you, in the same way that we're not able to change a person when we point a person to Jesus Christ, we can't change them. In a similar way, we can remind the person, look, you're not able to change me. And so, like, please don't demand. The idea of forgiving or the idea of turning and repenting is a decision that each individual needs to make. So what does forgiveness look like? Forgiveness may take some time. That's self-explanatory. Forgiveness means that you choose not to hold it against the person. And if you've forgiven them about a past sin, then you choose not to hold that past sin against that person. And this next one is, it must be, I know that this is a very, very difficult concept. Loving them means trusting them. And I know that this is a very, very, there's a lot of questions that may come up about this. But here's the basic idea. If they are a believer in Jesus Christ and they've hurt you and you need to forgive them, then we need to keep in mind that God is in control, that God is working in their lives. We may need to help them and point them to Jesus Christ over and over again. But as 1 Corinthians 13 describes, love, part of loving, is always believing or always trusting. And what that means is that even though you've hurt me, but I will trust that the Lord is working in you, and I will continue to move towards you. I will continue to trust that you are a believer. As long as you say you are a believer, I will trust you and I will continue to want to build this relationship with you. And that's really hard. That's really hard. Forgiveness means moving toward the person, and forgiveness means pointing the person to Christ. What does forgiveness not look like? What does unforgiveness look like? Where you continue to hold things against them. Where you always have some type of doubt about the person. Where you try to stay away from them because you just feel like things aren't going to go well with you and that person. Again, we're talking about believers in Jesus Christ. Remember, we've been talking about unity and loving one another and all this stuff. But then when someone sins against you, you may decide in your mind, I know what that person is like. I don't want to be close to that person, so I'm going to stay away from them. Unforgiveness looks like a person that goes around that constantly says, I'm not going to forgive you until you make it up somehow, until I see justice seen. Pay me back my money. And unforgiveness looks like you trying to fill up your own bank and you try to deal with it yourself, but the result becomes, I'm going to stay away from that person and those types of people, and I just need to make sure that I keep this full. I don't want to feel myself going down again because it was so much work to try to fill it up again. That's what unforgiveness looks like. Forgive one another as God forgave you in Christ. This is the third point. God doesn't just forgive us. There was a cost. There was a debt. And when we think about the offense of the first servant, the other servant to this servant, yes, he threw him in jail, but it was just a small amount of money. And it wasn't that much in the long run. But when this servant, this other servant, sinned against the king, and wasn't paying back the $1 billion, because it was the king, the offense was so much greater. There was a large cost there. And God doesn't forgive just because he's a forgiving God. The cost had to be paid for. There was a consequence. And for us, well, let me say this. I've experienced being sinned against multiple times in my life. And I've seen multiple situations, I've experienced multiple situations where I've had to forgive people. Whether it be my parents, or my wife, or my kids, even my own siblings, I had to work to forgive them. I had to forgive other church members and church leaders in the past. I've had to forgive strangers. Or even as I'm watching stuff on TV and I see just injustices happen on TV and it affects me and I'm just like, oh, this is terrible. And I have to work that out, to forgive those people. When I see people, how people have sinned against other people in the church, I have to work towards forgiving in that kind of situation also, even if it wasn't against me directly. But a lot of times it's hard. I don't want to forgive. And maybe some of you guys, I want to be clear. Every time I admit my own sin here, I'm not just admitting my own sin and I want to hear you guys come up to me and say, oh, poor pastor, it's okay. You know, that's not what I'm looking for. Whenever I admit my own sin, I want you guys to also think through, do you identify with this also? Do you find it difficult to forgive that person? I know a lot of times in moments in my life, I've practiced unforgiveness. And the Bible says if you stumble at just one point of the law, you're guilty of breaking all of it. I'm a sinner, and I deserve to be thrown in hell for not forgiving. And actually, that's the great cost. That's the great cost. But as John 3:16 says, God loved the world. And he loved it to the point that he would send his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. And even though he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross, paying for my debt. Jesus Christ paid my debt. Even though I deserve to die, even though I deserve to go to hell, but Jesus Christ on the cross took that punishment for me. So I don't have to pay it back. I don't have to pay the $1 billion back. I'm like the servant that was forgiven. And because I was forgiven, that great debt, I'm able to forgive these other offenses against me. So I just want to leave you guys with some of these truths. If you guys could just hold on to these truths. Whenever someone sins against you, think of these things. I owed God a great debt. I owed a great debt to God. And God is a just God. He will bring about justice. He knows the sin that that person sinned against me. There will be justice. There will be. I can hold on to that idea. But at the same time, God also knows the injustice that I've brought about. And so I deserve punishment. But because God is a good God and he's a loving God, God has forgiven you of your debt. And if that's the case, what will you do? I want to end with this, just practical things. If you have been sinned against, if you have gone through such painful experiences, if you've gone through trauma because of other believers in Jesus Christ, and it was just such a terrible time, I understand. It's tough. And so if you've gone through that, go through that trauma with the Lord. Express all your frustration. Express all your hurt and all your anger, and tell the Lord that this is what I'm going through. And part of that process may include actually going through counseling. And so if you're looking for counseling about how to deal with this stuff, come up and talk to the leaders. We have people in our midst that are counselors also. And so if you're looking for someone to talk to, please come and talk to the leaders. Talk to me, talk to the elders, send a message in the line group, and we could get you connected. But work through that. Work through that. Same thing, or the second thing is keep these truths in mind. Remember these truths and work through forgiveness with the gospel in mind. With the gospel in mind. The third thing is decide to forgive, even if it means betraying your own emotions. You may not want to forgive, but as you think about the gospel, you know that it's right to forgive. Choose to forgive and fight the temptations to not forgive. And so, again, forgive one another as God has forgiven us through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much that you are a God who is good and has shown your love to us. And this command to forgive one another is a very difficult one for us to hear. But Lord, we really do. Lord, we trust that there is healing and that there is joy, that there will be peace at the end of the tunnel if we are able to forgive. But Lord, may we remember not to forgive just on our own strength. But Lord, help us to forgive as we look to the gospel once again. I pray, God, for all of us here that are going through difficult times, that have gone through situations in the past where they've been hurt. And Lord, perhaps the person may or may not have reconciled. But Lord, allow us to all find the place to be able to forgive the other person as you have forgiven us. Lord, guide us through that. Teach us and help us for your glory, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this